listen, I have missed each and every one of you. It's Apostle Johnita Collins here at Reign Embassy. It is on. We are ready to go. Worship was outstanding. Prayer was outstanding. But now it's time for me to bring you the second half. Listen, I brought to you that you didn't know what love was, right? You don't know what love is. Remember that? We have moved forward. All right, we have moved forward. We've ended that series. That was a four-part series. By all means, go to johnitacollins.live and catch it on YouTube. Every social media platform, it doesn't matter. I'm there. Spotify, Apple Play, I'm everywhere. So listen, you can't say you can't find me because I'm there. All right, now, we are moving forward. We had to lay all of that foundation for us to be able to realistically look at ourselves so that we could understand this portion of the message, all right? Now, this portion of the message, our new message that we're going to be in as long as God have us here, is offensive love in the ecclesia. Offensive love in the ecclesia. If you remember the four-part series that we just wrapped up was what was it called?
Criminal love.
All right, well, we were talking about the criminal love in the ecclesia. Now it's time to move forward to the offensive love in the ecclesia, so that we can come into the greater understanding, knowledge, and wisdom about our King. Now I know that you would never ever consider the King's love as offensive to you. I know that you would never, ever consider the King's love as offensive to the church. I know that you would never, ever consider the King's love as offensive to those who profess and claim to be in the ecclesia. But I am here to present to you that absolutely you are offended. And His love is offensive. Now, when I'm speaking of offense, I'm not even going to get ahead of myself. Listen. Because I could do that, but I don't want to. Before I even go any further than that, I do want to introduce this concept, okay? I have to. Now, we did talk about Jesus being our standard of love and not humanity. That's going to be the theme that we're going to stick with until we begin to understand that, because we don't understand how much, or we don't want to accept how much we actually love Jesus in the church from a humanistic standpoint. Can we all agree to that?
Yes.
That we have taken our natural desires, our natural lifestyles, our sinful lifestyles, our sinful shaping, and we've tried to reshape it and handle it and present it in the ecclesia to our King, and it just doesn't go together. It's not a hand-to-hand working. Oh, I need you to understand that. So today I will present to you the truth of Jesus and the true love of Jesus that defies the norms and culture of church as we know it. Oh, I'm taking it on. That's a big fat bite. Scripture shows us over and over again how Jesus' love wasn't only bold, but most importantly, it was uncompromising. Can you relate? Are you hearing what I'm laying down? Because the thing of the matter, the truth of the matter, is that we do not believe from day to day that we are compromising through love, or what we profess as love, or what we believe to be love. But it puts us in a compromising position to our King. Uh-oh. That's why I had to lay down, you don't know what love is, so that you can begin to believe and receive in the love of the King. Because if you stay with the notion that you already have what love is and that you know how it functions in the kingdom, then we can't go further. We can't advance the kingdom together. That's why we have so much church. We have the people putting their boots and, you know, claps and fans and all, whatever that little trending song, you know. We just take anything in the world and we just bring it into the body of Christ as if it's God, or as if He needs those kind of shenanigans and playfulness. And forget that we are working with a man of war. I mean, if you wanted to bring something, I mean, bring your tools. Bring the word. How about that? Let's just bring the word. can't do that. Anyway, I don't want to get off point because you know what? I feel like I'm not going to get through my message today because as I was building it out, God kept expanding it and I thought we was going to be able to move through this, but you know what? Got to slow it down and take it line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept, because you got to get it. The whole interest of Rain Embassy is for you to become a living epistle. It's for you to operate as he is in this world. Listen, I only have one goal when I show up here. Now, Jesus's uncompromised posture was often seen as offensive. All right? But you got to remember, it is offensive to the rigid religious leaders in Scripture. It was. And remember, I talked about the rigid religious mindset. And if you believe that you don't have that, sit down with God. Sit down with the Word and see if you're able to walk that thing out without compromise, without even thinking twice. And I guarantee you, if you can't even go on a fast, if the king puts you on a fast and you can't even hold fast to the fast, listen. We don't want to look at the small things that give us indicators that we can't handle the truth of the king. We don't want to look at small things and be able to realize that we're too rigid in our thinking and our approach to our king. All right. Jesus' uncompromised posture was often seen as offensive to the rigid religious leaders in Scripture. And if you take an honest look at the posture of the pastors, of the bishops, of the apostles, of the prophets, and of the Christians of today, you would know the truth of the matter, which is that Jesus' love is If we were to take a look at and be honest at the posture of the pastors, the bishops, the apostles, the prophets, and Christians of today, then we would be able to know and deal with the truth of the matter, which is Jesus's love is totally offensive to their religious, sensual teachings. The teachings of today are religious and sensual. And when I say sensual, they appeal to your natural senses, not to the Holy Ghost. That's why I had to slow it down. Okay? The teachings of today are steeped in selfishness and earthly indifferences, indicating that God's love is extremely offensive to their fleshly beliefs. Scripture tells us that absolutely you can believe in God but deny the power thereof. Scripture has already laid that out. And half of the leaders that are teaching in these buildings, in these institutions, they're denying the power thereof. That's why you're struggling from day to day to even, if you even think about being holy or righteous. God can't even touch you to begin to shape you in his image, to begin to shape you in his likeness, to begin to take off the world and put him on. Because you already believe, because you've been taught that you are already, just because Scripture says that you're made in his image, that whatever that image is him. Think about what I just said. This is why I'm giving you these indicators that you yourself are under a false pretense. And that pretense actually supports your selfishness. That pretense actually supports your fleshly beliefs. That's why deliverance and healing cannot be in your house. Until you begin to understand and recognize that you are not one with God and that you are far from him. The love taught and demonstrated in the Holy Scripture through the life of Jesus Christ is one that dared to challenge injustices practiced in the name of the law. Did you hear me? Prejudices practiced in the name of the law. In apathy practiced in the name of the law, which is rooted in the unbalanced scales of love designed through human hands instead of the rhema and the logos of the word of God. Oh, come on. I just said a mouthful. If you only took the time to replay this and listen again and again and again until your understanding comes up higher. Now, what I want you to understand when I speak of offensive love, I'm not referring to the love that is hurtful or abusive. That's not what I'm saying. Rather, I'm teaching about a love that goes beyond the soft, timid affection we so often expect that reflects and expresses the Lamb of God. Instead, I am speaking of the expressive lion. The expressive lion. Listen. I am speaking, when I say offensive, I am speaking of the expressive lion's love that moves outward. The lion's love that actively engages. The lion's love that challenges. And the lion's love that transforms its kingdom citizens who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Oh my God. That's the offensive love that I'm speaking of. Because we love to teach about the Lamb. We love to talk about the sacrificial love of God and how he died for us. But what we don't want to deal with, what we don't like to address, is the other side, which is the kingdom side of that lion that's fierce. That lion of Judah. That go, what? That goes first, that begins to destroy, that preemptive strike. What are you talking about here? Do you know your king? Do you know your God? God's love is sent to disrupt complacency and forces us to confront our own injustices, our own prejudices, and our own apathy against the government of Jesus Christ, which is the evidence of salvation in your personal house first. Man, this offensive love is not passive. It causes us to step out of our comfort zones and, like our Savior, to engage boldly with the things that keep us out of his presence. Now, before I can take you any further, I do have to really break down this point. And this is the point that I want you to write down. Offensive love is governmental love. Offensive love is governmental love. Offensive love is governmental love. Can somebody turn to Isaiah 9 and 6? Isaiah 9 and 6. Let's see what it has to say. Isaiah 9 and 6. It talks about this Prince of Peace. But I want to hear. It starts off with, and we say this every year around what? Christmas. Mm-hmm. But we don't even recognize what we're saying. Yes, go ahead.
For unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Come on here. Now the government is the system of rule by which heaven is managed. I want you to understand that, because for some reason we're so busy doing church that we've forgotten that Jesus came with the government of eternity. What?
On his shoulders.
Okay. So how is it that we're not tapping into that understanding? So I'm going back to your doctrine. And earlier I taught about, well, how did you come into Christ? Because if you came into Christ through man's hands, I guarantee you're sitting here with a whole misunderstanding of the one that you're trying to serve. The government, the system of rule by which heaven is managed. Jesus came with the sovereign government of eternity. He did not come with the wisdom of earth. He came to bring us something that would get us back to our original state, that would get us back to our Father, that would get us back into heaven. Because without understanding the government of the place where you want to reside, you have no right to enter back in. That's just like right here. You can come here. But in order to become a citizen, you have to go through the naturalization. Mm-hmm. They don't just let you just stay here and do whatever you want. That was the problem with the past administration, with all of these different countries, with an influx of different cultures and different things coming into our country and not even adhering or knowing how we run things here. Yet receiving all the benefits as if they are Americans. Come on here. It's bigger than what you could imagine. But the average Christian won't even get on the same page as Jesus because they're not on the same page as Jesus. So they would never comprehend what is taking place in our country because they don't even understand what's taking place in their own house. Do you know who your God is? Do you know how your God operates? No, you don't. Jesus came with the sovereign government of eternity. Jesus is carrying the codes and the conduct of eternity. Are you hearing me? He's showing up carrying the codes and the conduct of eternity. And it was offensive. It was offensive to the leaders of its time. It was offensive to the communities. It was offensive to the nations. Come on here. I need you to understand. Not only did he come with the government on his shoulder, but his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of, do you know what that means? If you understood what that meant, you would understand the offensive love of Jesus the Christ. See, those aren't just names, those are offices. Those aren't just names, those are offices. This is what he's coming to produce from. This is what he's bringing. And we never think about what's in a name. We never think about our words. We never think about the declarations that come out of our mouth. We never think about the declaration of the very scripture. Those are declarations. And he shall be called Wonderful. These offices, listen, he came in to occupy on earth through his very name. He came to occupy Wonderful. and show us what it looks like. He came to occupy a counselor and show us what it looks like. He came to occupy Mighty God to show us what it looks like. He came to occupy Everlasting Father to show us what it looks like. He came to occupy Prince of Peace. Are you kidding me? We have a job and a duty in the kingdom, and we are asleep. Far from it. I'm gonna let you think about that. I'm going to let you think about that. Why? Because I know that you haven't. People don't teach like this. They're teaching to appease your sensuality. But I'm teaching to wake you up. I'm teaching to call you to arms. If you profess to be a Christian in this hour, then you better know your King. Or understand you're agreeing with being led astray. Either way, God is judging and he's separating the wheat from the tear. And nobody can stop that. It's the truth anyhow. So let us take a look. Names in the scripture are richly filled with meaning. They serve as declarations of identity. They serve as declarations of purpose, and they serve as declarations of God's intention with his creation. Are you hearing me? Now, when we look at wonderful, let's just keep it outside of counselor before we put it together. Let's just look at wonderful. Now, in the Hebrew, and I may say it wrong, but they say that it's said Pele. I got somebody that studied Hebrew in the house. I'm looking right at them. Is it Pele? Okay. Close enough. I'm there, all right? Which indicates that Jesus is beyond human expectation. I need you to understand, because I know that we don't sit down with the scripture enough to understand. Wait a minute. This meant something, and it meant something for you and I to grab a hold of. He is a marvel whose coming and works inspire all. No matter where Jesus showed up, people were left in what? They were confused. Like, they was like, I don't know if I want to just like fall out, fall down at his feet, or if I want to challenge. I don't know. Because it was beyond our human understanding. It was beyond our human intellect. His life, his teachings, and the miracles are all supernal. Listen, they defy ordinary explanation. You cannot. There was no one that could explain what he was doing and how he was doing it. I need you to understand that. This declaration of wonderful emphasizes the miraculous nature of his birth in his ministry. Jesus' actions, from healing the sick to calming storms, to displaying a dunamis power that left people astonished. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it also left lives transformed. Mm-hmm. You can go to Matthew 14:27-28. Come on, somebody get that. And we're going to hit Matthew 5:17-20, John 10-11. Listen. His wonderfulness compels us to recognize that his way surpassed our understanding. And it still is doing the same thing today. We must recognize that. If you cannot grab a hold of that, I'm telling you, you will continue to toil in your salvation because you keep bringing him down to a humanistic level, but he's wonderful. He's wonderful. If you only comprehended what wonderful is, for real, according to scripture, not today. We like to use these words. Oh, that's wonderful. No, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus, I can't explain. Jesus leaves me in awe. Jesus always astonishes me. Do we have Matthew 14, 27 through 28?
Yes.
Come on, who got it? Let's go.
Matthew 14, 27 through 28. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.
Come on. That's a wonderful act. And I know we have people perpetrating the fraud like they can walk on water. We got AI, got people tipping on water. We had Michael Jackson moonwalking like he was, you know, levitating and moving. All this kind of craziness. But when you think about it, I need you to understand that all of this is an outcome of trying to be wonderful like Jesus. His wonderfulness compels us to recognize that his ways surpass our understanding, pointing us toward the manifold wisdom of his logic system. I'm going to be introducing a lot of concepts and a lot of words that I know you are not used to hearing, which is why you're going to have to slow down, rewatch. Because I'm waking up your brain. I'm about to transform your mind. Because offensive love transforms the mind. There's no other way to get the mind of Christ without the offensive love of Jesus the Christ. Come on here. No, you're not going to get the love of Christ in the mind of Christ through the Lamb. You're going to get the mind of Christ through the lion. And many of you don't want the lion. You only want the lamb. Many of you only want the lamb. You don't want Jesus to address nothing. That's why you don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, because you're not in love. You're not in love, but yet you want to say, he loves me, but I don't have to love him. He loved me first, and I love him back. Hey, he loved me. Come on here. When we close out with as he is, so are we in this world. We always in what? Because, listen, he loved us first. That's why we love him. He doesn't have to do another thing. But if he addresses us as the king that he is, and if we are his heirs, then he should be able to address us as the kings that we are. But we can't even tap into our kingdom identity. Why? Because we only want to deal with a lamb that's going to be slaughtered. Not a lion that will destroy you if you roll up on it. If you're not a part of the pack, you're going to become din-din. I'm just saying. We don't understand our God, and we don't understand the kingdom that we're supposed to live in, which is why I know as much as you guys say kingdom, 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 I guarantee you, you're not in the kingdom because you don't even understand kingdom. Your conduct is too earthly. Your concepts are too earthly. They're below, not above. Let me repeat this. Because I need you to understand, his wonderfulness compels us to recognize that his ways surpass our understanding, that his ways are pointing us toward the manifold wisdom of his logic system, which is the canonized scripture that holds the mystery of God's redemptive plan. Come on here. Why do you think the enemy wants to duke you out of scripture? Why do you think they're not teaching you scripture? They might be teaching you scraps, but they're not teaching you scripture. Why do you think all the power words, for those of you who read the NIV and the message and you think you got the word, you don't have the word because you don't have Jesus. He's taken out of most of those. You have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, and that's how he's going to address you. Because the Holy Ghost should be able to talk to you and tell you it's time to grow up. It's time to get on some meat. It's no meat over there. That was good when you came in, when you were introduced to the Lamb. But listen, that's how God gets you. He introduced you to the Lamb. But at some point, you got to meet the King. You got to meet the Lion. And if you ain't met the Lion, you ain't in the kingdom. Counselor. As counselor, Jesus is the source of perfect wisdom and guidance. Not man, not your bishop, not your pastor, not your mama, not your daddy, not yourself. Come on. Lean not to your own understanding. But too many of us do. We lean to what we believe. We lean to what we think. But I believe scripture already dealt with that too. Doesn't it say something about man? There's a way that
seems right.
A way that
seems right.
A way that
seems right.
Who you think he's talking about? Mm-hmm. Why do you think he has to put this in the scripture? Listen, he got us coming and going. I tell people this all the time. If you read the scripture, you'll see how God is like, I'm not letting you off the hook. Get from before me, I never knew you. Jesus is the source of perfect wisdom and guidance, which is why he declared that he has not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. Come on. Who has that Matthew 5:17-20? Who has it?
I have it.
Come on.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
I am determined to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, because those leaders out here that's teaching this false doctrine that have removed pieces of it, it's already averted. Consequences. He already said, you will be the least. That means downgraded. Downgraded, and it doesn't matter if you're not downgraded in man's eyes, you're downgraded in God's eyes. And if your ministry is really after God, then that should be a problem. That should be a problem. See, the issue is we know that ministries are not after Jesus Christ. Ministries are not after transforming the minds of the people that they are supposed to have charge over. Ministries are interested in their own lust and their own desire. Why? Because this scripture is not in the front of their mind. I cannot lead you astray. Why? I don't want that on my record. I don't want that kind of blood, and I don't want to be downgraded. I love my relationship with my King. I value being able to wake up and say, good morning, King. And he says back to me, good morning, King. And I said, well, what are we doing today? What would you like to accomplish? How do you want to use me? My God, my Lord, my Savior. And you know what, Johnita? I'd like to get this done. Is that you? Or do you wake up with your laundry list of all you need? What you going after? How you want it to be done? I'm just, we got to deal with the realities. And this is what offensive love looks like. This is what it feels like. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. Or should I say it's righteous? This particular declaration reflects his role in leading people with divine insight and clarity. Do you know that that's what scripture provides for you? Divine insight and clarity. You're only lost in making not so good decisions because you're not tapped in. The Holy Ghost can't speak to you, but God speaks through his word. He's never going to stop speaking through his word because his word is life and it's a life giver. That's another boom. So why are you out there chasing after everybody else? You could be chasing after the king, but you don't want to spend time with the king because at the beginning and the end of the day, guess what? Your heart is not in it. You don't have the craving. You're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness, cleanliness. No, you want the lamb. You don't want the king. You don't want the lion. You don't want the lion. You only want the lamb, which is a one-sided relationship. Because anything that's constantly being sacrificed, because that's what the lamb represents, the sacrificial lamb. It's constantly dying. And there's some religions out here that do, you know, that every Sunday to remind them of the slaughtering of the lamb. But let's be reminded, I'm here to remind you of the raising of the king.
Yeah.
The raising of the lion. On the third day, he rose with all power in his hands. See, we aren't preaching that. On the third day, he rose with all power in his hands. He rose with the keys to death and hell. What? And if you stay with it, he passed it on to you. So how are you stuck on the other side? How were you stuck on the lamb? How did you not rise up with the king? Oh, no, you use that language, though. You use it, but you don't use it. So in other words, you say it, but you don't live it. You don't live it. You still slave with the lamb. You down. You never rose up. You never comprehended the scripture. You never comprehended your duty. Jesus didn't go to hell to die. He went to hell to win. And the problem with every Christian, for the most part out there, they're not fighting to win. They're not in the war to win. They're not in the battle to win. They're slain. They're laying down. They're a lamb, not a lion. In his teachings and parables, Jesus offers profound guidance that not only instructs, but transforms nations. And I'm not just talking geographically. I'm talking about the nation inside of you, the nation of Jesus Christ that's inside of you. Because you are saying that you are of Christ. Do you not know? That if you are of Christ, there's a whole nation inside of you. That there is nothing God should not be able to pull on to produce from. Oh, come on here. is high. He provides counsel that cuts through the confusion of worldly wisdom. That's why you don't want to get in the Word. Because here's the truth. You don't really want your worldly wisdom to be touched. Why? Because worldly wisdom is sensual wisdom. And why sensual wisdom feels good to the body, feels good to the mind, feels good to the soul, feels good to the spirit. Makes you think of yourself more than you ought to. So who's going to just lay themselves out to be raised up? I flipped that on y'all. Y'all thought I was going to say to just be laid down. No, no, no. Who lays themselves out to be raised up? That's the question. Is it you? Do you desire to be raised up and usable? Or do you just want to use the King's name? Do you just want to profess to be in the number without doing the work to actually enter into eternity? That's something you have to ask yourself. Because it doesn't matter. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's what Scripture says. He provides counsel that cuts through the confusion of worldly wisdom and directs us towards truth and righteousness. It directs us towards truth and righteousness. And if the truth cannot be found in you, if you are a hater of truth, you best believe there can be no righteousness. Go back to the top of my teaching. I'm still continuing down the same line. Go back to the top of January. I did a whole extensive teaching about righteousness, holiness, and conviction. If you are one that can't be convicted by the Holy Ghost, I need you to understand you're not there. There can be no direction for you because there's no truth. You can't receive truth. Which means you cannot move into righteousness. His advice is not based on mere mortal reasoning. Who has John 8 through 10 through 11? His advice is not based on mere human reasoning, but it is inspired by the mind of Christ, assuring us of a secure path in life, the straight gate. The straight gate. The straight gate. Listen, you can go to the one that's wide with many different pathways. But when you with Christ, you get on that straight gate. You have no interest. Your appetites change. The ways you used to be able to freely go, you realize I'm a bond servant. I'm not going that way. I used to be able to go that way. And when the enemy shows up and like... You know you want to come back. You're like, nah. You start acting like Jesus, get from before me. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Your whole language, your whole outlook. What? You are an offense to me now. How dare you? Now I'm going to be an offense to you. And my offense to you is pure rejection of anything you have to offer. John 8, 10 through 11.
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
That's a wonderful counselor. What was his counsel? Go and sin no more. I tell you, go and sin no more. You won't do nothing but go and sin more. I treat you the way the King treats you, and you won't do the total opposite. Why? Because he's not in you. Jesus didn't sit there and give her a whole 30, 40, 50-hour session. He ran a few things down. She knew exactly what he was talking about. So this is for those of you, I don't understand what you saying. Well, let me ask you a question. No, don't ask me nothing. Don't ask me nothing. Have an ear to hear. Go work on yourself. Go get in the scripture. Go get in worship. Get on your face. Do some work for your salvation. Because here's the issue. You want somebody else to work out your soul's salvation. You want God just to open up the door and let you in. But he's not. It's storming. It's storming. I'm shaking up the heavenlies. God, like, that's my apostle. Let him know. I'm letting him know. No, you're lazy. And you're offensive to your king. Because you don't even want to live. I could throw my whole iPad right now. Why? Because it's a crime and a shame that you don't want to live. Because if you want to live, you start making changes. Yeah. When the king shows up to you, you are you cutting today? Or what are we doing? Which way are we going, guy? I mean, have you found something in me that's not like you? That you would like to address? Oh, okay, well, just let me know. Because, yeah, I'm sick of me too. Mm-hmm. No, God, I'm tired of me. And I really couldn't get past this moment. But I'm glad that you showed up. Yeah, I waited for you. No, I didn't just pray once. I didn't just pray twice. I didn't just pray three. No, I've been praying about the same thing because I know that it's a problem. I just can't figure out the solution. And when he shows up to give you the solution, you just in awe that he showed up. Your solution is that he showed up. So this is what you like. You cry wolf all the time. God, I need you. God, help me. God, please make a way. And every time he shows up, you're like, yeah. And you done forgot everything that you asked for. You didn't forget that you pleaded and you cried for his presence. And when he showed up, you didn't join hands with the king. You said, do the work. I'm glad that you showed up. Now do the work too. I want to call it a certain kind of action, but I got on my heavenly blue today. But I could have on my blue fire today too. But I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to just let you figure it out. But it's a very ignorant disposition. It's very ignorant. And it shows that you are unlearned. And it says that you are not teachable. It says that you are one that could never, ever change. Because there's no truth in you. Scripture doesn't lie. Scripture doesn't lie. The problem is this offensive love exposes everything for what it is. And that's what you don't like about the lion. You want the old pastor. Old pastor, just, you know, just love on me. The pastor said hi to me today. Pastor waved at me today. Pastor find you to death. And you meet a real apostle. You meet a real prophet. And you are undone. You calling them every kind of lie. Every kind of devil. Every kind of everything. But Jesus in them. But the truth in them. Why? Because of your filthy soul. Because darkness does not like light. Yeah, I'm stopping and I'm looking right at you. Because I want everybody that watched this video to understand, it's just that simple. the darkness in your soul that you are in agreement with doesn't like the light. Therefore, it doesn't like counsel. But it will use your time. It will sit there like it likes counsel. It will use you up like it wants counsel. But as soon as it gets up, it's back to its old nature. But eternal counsel, such as Jesus Christ, fashioned after Jesus Christ, is going to assure and secure your life on that narrow path. It has to send you to the straight gate. It cannot send you anywhere else. I have 3 more points that I tell you I want to get out today, but I don't know. I don't want to overwork y'all because I think this message is heavy. How long I've been teaching? I have no idea. About what? About an hour. All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep y'all with those two. Next week, we're going to pick up because we got to go through Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Okay? But I'm going to keep working, y'all, because I need you to understand something about this topic. Offensive love is only offensive because it carries the law of eternity, the constitution of eternity, the policies of eternity. Listen, it's legislative. And that's the offense because we want to be free and fluid. It tells you how to regulate yourself. It tells you about your rights, what is upright, what you can do in the kingdom, what you cannot do in the kingdom. Come on. It socializes you to get along and be your brother's keeper. You don't want to be your brother's keeper. Not when you yourself just want to be kept. You don't want to be responsible for nobody else when you yourself don't want to be responsible for yourself. Okay, I said I was coming back next week. But I needed to lay that out for you to think about this week. So that when we get back together next week, I can take you to the next level. Because trust me, I'm walking heavy with this. This is not a light walk. And this ain't for the faint. But I'm glad that you're on the path with me. If you keep showing up and if you keep listening, I guarantee you, you're going to end up with the king, whether you like it or not. Listen, I need y'all to come out. Deliver me. The conference is around the corner. It's a one-day conference here in Atlanta, April 19th. Listen, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to hit it. I'm ready to take care of the king's business, and I'm ready to bring you into alignment. I'm ready to bring your mind, your soul, your heart, your body. I'm ready to bring all of you into alignment with your king. Listen, for many of you, you have been crying for moments like this. Well, now is your time. Will you show up? Will you answer the call? Can you hear it? Or will you have every excuse why you can't make it? I'm just saying, we all making decisions, okay? As I remind you every week, according to 1 John 4:15-18, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. And at the beginning and the end of the day, we love Jesus because Jesus first loved us. I bless each and every one of you. I thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to like and share. Don't forget to go over on my YouTube page. Don't forget to go up onto JanitaCollins.live. Don't forget to hop up on Spotify. You can hear all the messages. You can drive down the street listening. Listen, going up on YouTube, going up on Apple Music. I don't know. It's so many platforms. They'll let you know, okay? But at the beginning and the end of the day, come and get this. Because it's worth it. Come get this word, because it's worth it. It's going to set you free and truly lead you into salvation. Because we going down this, entering into this straight gate. That's what I want to say. God bless each and every one of you. You have a blessed one. Apostolic Prophet Tavisa is up next.
Wow. Good afternoon, everyone. What a powerful, powerful teaching, truly from the apostleship of Apostle Janita Collins. And I just want to say to you, this entire series, beginning with, go to our YouTube channel, but you can get to everything from JanitaCollins.live. I want to make sure that you visit the website. So if you miss anything this afternoon, know that by going to JanitaCollins.live, you can access the YouTube channel. You can access other social media platforms. You can access the podcast that's currently existing with all of the replays of the messages. And pretty soon you'll be able to access the Straight Gate podcast. So I want to just encourage you to bookmark this page in any web browser that you use to make absolutely sure that you can come back and get this life-giving, listen, aligning word that God has for you. Truly, the church is in need of the messages that God is giving Apostle Collins so that they can become the ecclesia of God. We definitely want to make that distinction. But I want to thank you today for joining us at Rain Embassy on this Sunday afternoon. And I also want to encourage you to not forget to give. Every message that you're getting is warring for your very soul, is warring for your very existence, is warring for your very transformation. So by entering in with your seed and with your giving, you're making a declaration to God that you are planting a seed in the ground so that there can be a watering and an increase in your life. And we like to use the term war tax within Rain Embassy. So I want to encourage you to put that before your heart and your mind as you give. There are currently two ways to give, but we're working on a third way for you to be able to jump in, but we'll announce that probably on next Sunday. But the first thing I want you to do, if you have Cash App, we want you to give using the Rain Embassy. That's T-H-E Rain Embassy, and that's how you give. Now, if you are using Zelle, I want to encourage you to use jcmerching@gmail.com as the email address so that your seed can go directly to Rain Embassy that way, so there's no excuse for giving. And also, I just want to encourage you today not to dismiss the previous messages that have come, because even though she started a new series today, they're all divinely connected. The Bible tells us line upon line, little by little, and in order to get the weight of what God is releasing through her, you're going to need to walk through every single message. Take notes, use a transcription service, whatever is necessary so you can get these in your system. I am convinced that this is the very DNA that's going to transform the body of Christ in this century and put them back on pace with what they're supposed to be doing. There's a lot of, as she says sometimes, there's a lot of Swiss cheese, there's a lot of condiments, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the body of Christ, but very few of them are Jesus Christ. So thank you for joining us today, and be blessed, and we hope to see you online. Engage with us in Dominion Air, and engage with us in your comments. If you go again to JohnitaCollins.live, you can send a comment. But also the Deliver Me Conference, that's also on the website. And we need you to register and share with a friend that is going to be looking for an Easter service to attend. And you're going to tell her there are no Easter services in the kingdom, but there are services that will resurrect your very soul. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.